Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a local fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Good Guys Talk Back. Hey, this is episode 256. I am Nick Borowski. This is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast. We do it weekly Sunday nights on our YouTube channel. Please subscribe, pass it along to other Sox fans in your life. We do appreciate that. I got a lot to get to, some serious talk, some actual player moves, and the play-by-play position, some intel on that. Chopping everything up with me, my very dear friend, co-host, Mr. Pat Hester. Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. Happy Sunday to you. Hope you're having a fantastic day, just full of rest and relaxation. Good evening to all of our great listeners. I can't wait to talk some actual things that have happened in the past couple of days, and rumors and innuendos, but that's what we're here for, to talk about the rumors and maybes and whatnot. So I'm excited to see where you want to take us tonight, Nick.
Yeah, I think we got to start stadium. We got to talk about these serious talks. Have you heard about these serious talks, Pat? I feel like if you haven't heard about it, of what's going on with the ballpark, with a new ballpark, you have been held captive. Somebody has kidnapped you, and you have been away from media. They have kept you away from news, or you have just decided that you just wanted to go dark from social media or from news in general this past week, because it was everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it was like you'd have thought we signed Salvador Perez. It was every news channel. It was every, you know, articles are being written. I mean, everybody talking about this. So, of course, possible new stadium, maybe at the end of the decade. You know, we're going to get into this, you know, in our very fan-centric way. But, Pat, when you heard about this, you know, I think it was Thursday. Maybe it was Wednesday night, Thursday, where this dropped. That the Sox are looking to take over this Chicago 78, this plot of land in the South Loop, and have a new stadium. What were your thoughts?
Well, first I was a little bit taken aback that we'd gone from seemingly, you know, hard negotiations or talking to, you know, Nashville, not hard negotiations, I shouldn't say it that way, but a lot of rumors about, sure, you know, during the winter meetings and Jerry doing his Jerry thing where he's pitting two cities against each other, to now to the point where, okay, it seems like this is a really serious thing. You know, Bruce Levine even comes out and said this, heard, you know, the great Bruce Levine says this seems really real. And I'm just curious, you know, who's paying for it, I guess, is what I first think. Because the last time it was, you know, Jerry got a sweetheart of a deal on the South Side to build the new stadium. It was a kind of a blue elephant. It's matured and it's gotten a lot more character over the years. But it wasn't very well received when it first opened. And, you know, but again, it was a sweetheart of a deal. He made a fantastic business deal to stay in this on the South Side to basically get the park paid for, and he's paying a lease, and he's not paying that much on it as long as they stay under a certain threshold in terms of attendance. So I'm just curious how this is all coming about, because you know, and maybe the city of Chicago is trying to make sure that they keep a major team in its city limits, considering the Bears could be on the move. So yeah. You know, it seemed very swift, and not a lot of talked about how this is all going to be funded.
Yeah, I think maybe at the end of this little conversation of ours, and we're kicking this around, is this a pipe dream? Do we really think this is actually going to happen? And in our minds, you know, I mean, we don't really know what's exactly been talked about and how serious these talks are, but it was everywhere. It was unavoidable. Boy, every new, you know. And I got the impression, as I'm sure most Sox fans, you know, have been paying attention to this team, where there's nothing going on, absolutely nothing happening this offseason. This is just a distraction, right? This is to get us away from the scent, you know?
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to the zero moves being made, the zero serious moves being made. you know, the lack of a competitive team in this division, this AL Central division. Don't look at what we have to put on in almost 2 months, you know, when the opening day will be in late March. Don't worry about that. Don't think about that. But let's drop this now, and let's drop it all over the place, you know, in the dead of winter, that we might be moving to the South Loop. It felt like that to me, this just big distraction piece. I don't know if it felt like that to you or not, Pat.
Yeah, no, I totally get where you're going there, because, you know, there hasn't been a lot of good news. And you drop this out there and go, all right, let's see. What have the fans really hated over the years? Oh yeah, they can't see the skyline when they're in the ballpark. let's give them this little bit of information and let them chew on that. Get everybody all excited about it. It's right there on the river. It'll be fun. It'll be great. Well, the people will put mock-ups out there and they'll start to wonder about what the new ballpark could look like. But you're right. I mean, this comes at a time when there has been zero, you know, any kind of exciting move. It comes at a time when a lot of, predictions are coming out with a 65 win team, right? So what can you do to inject some type of life into your fan bases? Let's talk stadiums, right? That's what the Sox do really well. Let's talk food. Let's talk fireworks. Let's talk bobbleheads. We don't want to talk about players on the field. Let's talk about, the great merch that we have, the hat, the logo, all that stuff. That's all the things that we want to push and show and put in front of you. But the meaningful things of why we're here and why we care, you know, those things, let's not really put in too much time investing and think about those types of things.
Yeah, I want to hit on that, because you said that perfectly. Great comment by Sydney in the chats here. This should be paid for by Jerry Reinsdorf. There is no way the citizens, we should be flipping the bill on this. No way. I just can't stand that. But is it really going to happen? Most likely not. You know, Jerry will find some way. In your mind, Pat, do you think there needs to be a new stadium?
Well, I think, you know, we live in an age now, Nick, where stadiums don't hang around for the most part. And unless you take out Wrigley in Boston, Fenway Park as maybe the outliers, but those have both been renovated over the years. You know, most teams don't stay in their own stadiums for more than 20 or 30 years anymore. It doesn't seem like Atlanta Braves have played in the past 30 years, three or four different ballparks. It seems like the Texas Rangers have moved three times in my lifetime. The St. Louis Cardinals have played in at least three different stadiums in my lifetime. So, you know, it's not like the old days where it's like, okay, this is a stadium and it's going to be here for 80 years. So just don't worry about it. It's just not the way it works anymore. There's too much money that can be generated if you have a state-of-the-art, up-to-date ballpark. I'd be curious, and I don't know a lot of the renderings you see out there, I'm sure, are done by fans and things like that. I mean, I personally would love to see some type of retractable dome. And I know that's probably going to rub some people the wrong way, but if you're smart and you're looking at it from just not just baseball for the 81 games, or, you know, because you're not going to the playoffs anytime soon. So the 81 games that you're going to be at home, and you have the opportunity to draw in other things and other money-making opportunities, whether they're concerts or whether they're, you know, NCAA tournament type of things. You know, I know you could go to the UC, but maybe if you want a different venue, a larger venue where you could, you know, host something like that, you know, that would be great. And you're guaranteed to have a game every day, which would be fantastic. You and I have sat through a lot of opening days when it's sleeting or snowing or canceled. The only thing I think about that is then Jerry can't let everybody in, have them buy beer and food all day and then cancel the game, have them come back the next time to do all the same thing again. He wouldn't be able to pull that fast one anymore. But that would be... that would be interesting to see how it would be, you know, thought about. Like, okay, is it going to take in to account other things other than baseball?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're familiar with the South Loop area and this plot of land, there is a lot going on around there. You know, there are a lot of, you know, that has changed over the last 10, 15 years. Now, I taught at a school for a year just south of Roosevelt. So maybe that was like 1400 on Michigan Avenue. So I was right in that area. You know, sometimes I would take the Roosevelt Red Line and walk to the school. You know, we would get together at bars and restaurants, you know, after work at times up and down that area. So there's a lot of life, you know, there's hotels, and again, if you've gone to Bears games and you've hung out before Bears games in that area and then walked east, you know what I'm talking about. Congestion for sure. There's going to be a lot of congestion, especially on, you know, Saturday nights, Sunday nights in the summer, with all the festivals and other stuff that goes on in Chicago, right in the heart of things in the South Loop. Will there be room for parking and everything? I don't think anywhere near what we're accustomed to at 35th and Shields. The tailgating experience that a lot of Sox fans love and almost can't wait for, you know, that's a thing that's very unique too. I mean, tailgating for baseball games is a dying thing, you know, with these stadiums popping up and being reimagined in the heart of cities, and then like a village being built around the stadium. You don't have those parking lots, you know, you have parking structures, you have satellite stuff. They want public transportation. They want ride shares. You are coming a different way. We are not going to waste opportunities with parking lots. You know, we want hotels and we want all this stuff going on around the ballpark, breweries, what have you. So, look, I think it's going to be very different. You know, we'll attract a different fan base, perhaps. You know, you're going from an area that, look, that corner, 35th and Shields, Armour Square, Bridgeport, depending on who you talk to, since 1900, 1901, before that, Southside Park, just a little bit south, walking distance, that's been there forever, multiple generations, you know. Now, the current alderperson, Nicole Lee, I got to know her when I was living in Bridgeport. Wonderful person, I thought, you know, really was advocating for Bridgeport, bringing more business in, bringing more commerce. I can't say as much for the previous, alderman, Patrick Daly Thompson. I got to know him a little bit, but I didn't really get a good sense. Nicole Lee seemed very focused on, you know, and she had a statement that she put out just a couple days ago, and I'm not going to read all of it, but here, this was the interesting part, I thought. The White Sox and related Midwest presented an impressive vision, not just for a new stadium, but accompanying mixed-use development that could deliver significant socioeconomic benefits for both our ball club and our city. Discussions are ongoing, and as always, my top priority is working towards keeping, you know, community input and amplifying community benefits as this proposal is being evaluated. Long story short, she wants to, of course, try to keep the White Sox there, you know. But I think she gets it. That's what I got from that message. Like, she gets it. Like, I can't compete with what they're going to be able to offer just 2 miles north in the South Loop. And it is impressive. And important to your point that you had, which is, again, which I kind of chuckle at, is it's the skyline. We're all just excited about this, you know, to have this skyline, the Chicago skyline, because we didn't get it at the new ballpark. And now we're going to be able to get, you know, possibly the skyline. And I think if you just took literally Guaranteed Rate Field and you moved it onto, you know, lot 78, Chicago 78, and you made sure the skyline was there.
Yeah.
I don't see what the problem would be.
Well, honestly. I mean, and if you, and you would ask me, I don't know if I really answered your question before you asked me, is there really a need? I think there is a need always to give things a fresh look, because let's be honest, they've been doing different renovations on that ballpark, whether they've been major renovations or small tweaks, and most ballparks do, I know, every year. And if you look, and again, I'll just say from, you know, just because I it's the only other ballpark I go to enough to compare it to, you look at the new Busch Stadium, and the concourses there are constructed in a way that it is very open and wide. You know, when we first walked into the new Comiskey Park, when it opened up, it was like, wow, this is, look at the room we have here and moving around. Yeah. Right now, you think about it, Nick, the troubles, and again, people will chuckle because the crowds are not going to be that big this year. But when there was buzz about the team over the last couple of years and there was big crowds, you know, you get down that lower bowl, it is kind of a nightmare to move around down there. The lines for the bathroom are atrocious lately. Food lines and beer lines are crazy long. And with the way the game is going these days, Nick, with how fast and the pace is up where it is, if you're going there live, you're missing innings now if you're in line for things. So if you're asking me, your original question was, do they need one? I'd say yes, because of the fact there's other stadiums that have, you know, been new and you're not having maybe as big of problems as maybe I think that we have. So yeah, I think there is a reason to look
at it. I'll split hairs with you. And those are great points, especially with the pace of game. I think it's a fine stadium right now that they have. Absolutely could use a facelift. And if you're going to do that, you might as well just, you know, do a whole new thing. And that's what it's kind of coming down to with the end of the lease and all that other stuff that's happening towards the end of the decade. But not necessarily, hey, we need a whole new structure. We just might need it to be run better, from how they do concessions to how they do, you know, the getting people into the ballpark, the security, lack thereof. It is mismanaged. It is poorly
working
run.
Metal detectors would be fantastic.
I mean, how they are doing it right now is completely wrong, but the actual structure, I don't mind it too much.
And I don't either, Nick. And if you told me, you know, this is where they're going to renew the lease, right? That wouldn't ultimately bother me either. This is not like for me anyway, as a fan, I mean, I'm always excited to look at the new, like, give me something fresh and shiny to look at. I'd be excited and watch the construction as it goes. And thinking about opening day at the new ballpark, it would be, you know, because it's new. Everybody loves something new and fresh. But if it came down to when it's like, okay, we're going to renew our lease at 35th and Shields and keep the tradition going and stay on the south side for another X amount of years, I'd be okay with that too, because I don't see a lot of fault. But if you think about it too, Nick, from a things that we have talked about and a lot of, you know, you've brought up, is like, how come the Sox don't have their own Hall of Fame? Building a new stadium allows you to do things like that. Maybe you build it in a factory. You have a hotel next door where you could do a Sox Fest right there. Yep. By your ballpark.
Sure.
Dare I say, maybe that would have come back in 6 years. So, you know, those are things that you, with starting from the ground up, you go, okay, what are the things that are like have to haves for us as we go forward to really build our brand and really market ourselves and kind of, set ourselves apart from, from maybe the north side that doesn't have their landlocked. They can't do much more than what they have. They've obviously done a lot with the outside of the stadium and what they've done, but they're kind of behind the times with some of the other things. And you look at what they've done with the United Center over the years and how that has changed and emerged and grown over the years. So I think from a business perspective, you have to look at it and go, you know what? We've just kind of outgrown this space for what we want to do and for where modern baseball is really going. And I know it will definitely impact the tailgating, the parking and the charm and the tradition that you and I have grown up with. But, you know, unfortunately it's probably going the way of, like you said, these villages and these, you know, strips of hotels and, you know, probably casino, probably bars and probably restaurants and everything that modern stadiums have.
Yeah. Again, great points on what could be in terms of some of the other amenities. I think the Cincinnati Reds have something like that too, outside of their ballpark, the Hall of Fame. And we've talked at length about what the Royals do with Kauffman Stadium. That's very attractive to me, is to have like just kind of almost a campus where you can have a lot of other things going on, Sox related. that they just can't figure out right now because of the type of structure and everything else and who owns what. And and a lot of people brought it up in the comments, which I appreciate. Yeah, it's great to dream. I mean, it is, you know, it does get you a little excited as a Sox fan. Wow, like we could have something like this in the South Loop, depending on who you talk to. You know, you talk to some folks that lifelong Bridgeporters, Armour Square, even though it's a 2 mile jump, 2 miles north, it's completely different world. A completely different world. And you've got lifers in Bridgeport that I want to talk to some that are just, I don't know how they're thinking. Are they thinking, well, you know what? It's a little too congested. It's a little too much for me. I don't mind if they leave, or if there's some that just know this is our identity. This is how we are defined in Chicago. You know, it is a neighborhood stadium, and people don't really maybe get it that kind of credit, but it is. It absolutely is a neighborhood stadium. And a lot of that will be lost. You know, I think there's going to be a different type of clientele, a different fan base. But what I think still it's tough for me to separate myself from is the distraction piece. It's yes, we all want to like be proud of the stadium, you know, that we, you know, our everyone talks about, oh, you know, how great PNC Park is. And that's got to be kind of prideful, I guess, as a Pirates fan. And you look at the lists that come out every single year, and PNC Park's up there, you know, and I visited that park about 3 years ago, and it's wonderful. It's beautiful. But you look at attendance, and the Pirates are, you know, down, low, bottom, you know, in terms of attendance. The luster is gone with that park, and the team isn't very good. Now, I know Chicago is completely different. Chicago is different than Pittsburgh. In the summertime, I don't care. There's few places you'd rather want to be than in Chicago. There's so much going on, and to have that that Sox component right there in the South Loop, vibrant, you know, just a shiny new neighborhood, so to speak, that would be something else. Yeah. I get all that. I mean, that is intriguing, but I'm such a, what about the product? What about the actual team? What are we doing here with this team? And now I gotta ask you this, because this was brought up, you know, I heard this in a lot of different places. Coming back to Jerry, and almost like, you know, if Jerry is able to orchestrate this and get the stadium built in the South Loop and almost can hand this off to a new ownership group, wow. I mean, he should just be absolved for all of his sins. He is going to be righting all of these wrongs. We should be like genuflecting of what he's about to do. And okay, yeah, that could definitely set up the White Sox. It could, if this new ownership group actually does what we've always been wanting our ownership group to do with this new plot of land and all the bells and whistles. But I'm sorry, I can't say, oh, thank you, Jerry. Thank you for not doing the right thing for so many years. And now you went off and did this, and now all is forgiven. I mean, your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, you can't just turn a blind eye to what, you know, Jerry has not done over the past 40 years and what he's decided not to do with his franchise. So no, I mean, you really have to look at it and say two things can be true. Jerry, if you really put a state-of-the-art new ballpark in the South Loop, and it was delivered on a lot of the things that your fans really care about, and you really took your fan base into account when you put this together, and you didn't gouge everybody under the sun to get this done, you can tip your cap to him and say that was great. But at the same time, you can also look with a side eye and go, but the product you've decided to put out here is really been substandard for the past, you know, my lifetime. So, you know, and again, I joked about it the other day. I think I tweeted out, will the new ballpark be built without a right field? Because again, they've neglected it for, yeah, you know, since Jermaine died. So it's just, again, two things can be true, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be, you know, absolved of all the sins by White Sox fans, but you can still give him credit where the credit is due, and still, you know, tell him you failed us in this way. And probably the most important way, because I think you and I and most Sox fans would trade any new stadium. We'd still love to play at the old ballpark if it meant we were winning divisions and winning championships, right? I don't care if the bricks are falling down on my head, but we're going to the playoffs every year. I could give a damn.
I absolutely. I mean, that's truly how I feel. I don't care where they're playing, but I care about the organization, how the player development is moving, the executives, you know, how we're spending our money, all that kind of stuff. That's what I care about. That's what I want to see moving forward. And the serious talks of how we're changing the way we do everything, you know, within our organization. But, you know, we have to settle for serious talks on a ballpark. And yes, absolutely, it will change the after ball game experience and probably the before ball game experience, as we mentioned. You know, some comments here in our, you know, in the chats here on our YouTube channel. That's what I think a lot of baseball stadiums, you know, gravitate towards is, you know, folks are hanging around the ballpark. I lived in Washington, D.C. for a couple of years way back when, towards the end of the Robin Ventura era as manager. And what they did with that ballpark was pretty impressive. You know, it revitalized the neighborhood, the Navy Yards in Washington, D.C., and all of the hotels and housing. It priced a lot of people out, that's for sure. The restaurants, the bars. I mean, it, you know, there really wasn't any parking to speak of, but boy, were there opportunities around the stadium to do all kinds of stuff. And yeah, I mean, if you're going to a Sox game and you're going to look to do something after a game, you're either going to a buddy's house, somebody that lives over there, and you're going to just, you know, do some post game drinking or celebrating or hanging out at somebody's house. You're going to Turtles or Cork and Carry, you're walking further west, you're going Shinnix. I mean, you're going somewhere up and down Halstead to Wings and Rings. I mean, there aren't a ton of options. You know, it's kind of like you get to know people in the neighborhood and you have, you know, meetups at their house and have some drinks and have something to eat. I mean, hell, I was a 10-minute walk, you know, and that was a benefit, you know, from house to stadium. But it's going to change a lot of people, you know, especially lifers in that area. Will it get done, Pat? Will this absolutely get done in your gut and in your heart? Do you think this is really going to happen?
Boy, I don't know. Again, it just seemed odd. I mean, it just seemed very odd. It went from 0 to 60 very quickly. And I just don't feel like this is the way Jerry normally plays ball. I mean, if it does, I don't know. He must have got the deal he wanted. It just seems very odd. The timing seems odd. The whole thing, because it just doesn't seem very Jerry. It seems like, you know, you would hear him playing hardball in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, a lot of people, and I've seen some in the chat about, you know, a neighborhood with no charm and a ballpark with no charm and things like that. I think, you know, when people talk about historic ballparks, it's not about really the ballpark that's historic. It's the teams that played there that made moments and made historic moments. Look at Dodger Stadium. Have you been out to Dodger Stadium before? I can't remember.
I have. Yeah.
I've been out there too. That is nothing to that. That's really not other than being built into the ravine. It's nothing. I mean, it's nothing that you really care about. It's not like, oh, this is the coolest place I've ever been in my life. But the Dodgers have put out a great product in one World Series and gone to you know, playoffs.
And the players.
Yeah, I mean, before the years of spending like they have, I mean, there's been a lot of great historic moments in that ballpark. You can't say that about our ballpark, right? You can look at Boston. Yeah, in Fenway Park has been, you know, it's an old stadium, but it's not famous or historic because it's old. It's famous and historic because of all the great moments, even though they were, you know, deprived of a World Series for many, many years, there were a lot of great historic moments in that ballpark with a lot of great players. You can't really say that about anything that's happened on the South Side. Had we had, you know, teams and success like that, you could say, man, you don't want to go play on the South Side because, you know, that's the, that's, you know, the crowd is fantastic, and it's October, and it's all that stuff, right? It's all that stuff that gets built in with winning. And it doesn't really matter about what the building looks like. It's about the history and the winning and the championships that have been won there. So
I would say the fan base, I mean, when we have playoffs and it's few and far between, I mean, it is you do not want to play with our fan base. I mean, it is crazy. It is wild. I think it's some of the absolute best. We just don't have a lot of opportunities to do it.
We save up all of our energy for those every 10 years to let it all out.
Yeah, this is going to be kicked around for a long time. I hope it happens. I hope it happens. I feel like I've hoped a lot over the last like 6-7 years. I mean, ever since the rebuild started, and I've been fooled, and I don't know if this is just another game, but boy, yeah. What you said, there's just been so much that's been talked about. We'll see where this goes from here. If it's just this little thing that happens, this little news story that gets thrown out, maybe they got some of your season ticket holders that left. Maybe they jump back on, or, you know, we got single season tickets are coming up, you know, in mid-February, and folks are thinking, there's a lot of buzz now with this. Whatever it was supposed to achieve, maybe it got some people spending some money a little bit, and maybe this news goes away for a little bit. I don't know, but honestly, I hope it happens. You know, it would be pretty awesome to have that complex built there. Put a good team together, though. Put a good team together. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't think we have high hopes, although we've got some skin in the game. Who's going to be talking about this team? Who's going to be calling, you know, this team? The play-by-play announcer is still MIA. There are a couple articles this past week, I don't know if you saw them, Pat, about three finalists here, who is going to be taking over Jason Benetti's seat. Play-by-play announcer down to three candidates. Sox have narrowed their field of potential replacements for Benetti's seat. This is according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Red Sox radio voice Will Fleming, ESPN 1000's Connor McKnight, and John Schriffen of ESPN TV, Mike Monaco, is no longer in contention due to some, I believe, ESPN duties that he has on his plate. I think maybe he pulled himself out of that race. What are your thoughts, Pat? You got a favorite in this?
No doubt that I have a favorite in Connor McKnight, because he's a teammate of mine. So I'm pulling for Connor to get this. I know that he would, you know, and in some people, not a big fan of Connor McKnight for whatever reason. But I do believe it takes time for people to kind of get used to their play-by-play guys and let them grow into that position and kind of find their way through it. And then the fans have to kind of find their way too. I mean, you think about how, you know, the transition from Hawk to Benetti for me was hard. And I didn't grow to overly love Jason Benetti, but I grew to appreciate him because the guy's a freaking professional. One day he's doing college basketball. The next day he's doing a White Sox game. Another day he's doing a college football game. I mean, the art of being able to do play-by-play, which I've done a couple times in my life, and I was brutal at it because, first of all, I wasn't very prepared. And it's I didn't study. And I didn't even know the players on the field. But,
but a couple things that you might have wanted to do. Yeah.
Yes. But it was college and we were drunk. So that didn't really matter at the time, Nick. And so I appreciated him for the craft, right? And some of the things I could do without, but I still enjoyed it. And I thought the product was good. And I like Jason Benetti. But it took me a while to kind of go, man, I miss the hokey nicknames, and I miss the rah-rah of Hawk. But I knew it was time for Hawk to kind of, you know, let it go, right? Because he got where the point where when you're not talking during a broadcast, it's bad. Yeah. You don't really want, you know, 5 or 6 minutes of dead air where your play-by-play guy doesn't really speak and he's upset. And maybe he even leaves the field to go check on a player that got hit by something. But you know, so that transition is weird. So I think that if Connor were to get this, and I really hope he does, it'll take a little bit of while. It'll take a while for people to kind of really feel cozy to Connor McKnight. I mean, Connor is very analytic. He's going to kind of analytic you to death a little bit, but he's a student of the game. He knows this team. He's surrounded all the time. He knows the players. And I think he's going to be a true professional. So I'm rooting for Connor McKnight. The other two, I really, you know, if you wrote their names on their shirt and told me who they were, I wouldn't know who they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can't, I'm sure they're fine broadcasters. And I'm sure that if one of them gets it, I'll do the same thing where it'll be a little transition, but I'll get to know them and appreciate them as they go. But I'm hoping really strongly for Connor McKnight.
I am too. I am absolutely hoping Connor McKnight gets the job, and I'll kind of explain my reasoning. And also to what you had said, I don't know these other folks, their work. I'm sure they're professional broadcasters, and they probably will find their voice, and they'll figure out some chemistry with Steve Stone. But when I see Red Sox, okay, or Will Fleming, I'm sure he'll do a professional job. John Schriffen, I don't really know what he's done a majority of. I don't believe I've heard them on any White Sox calls, but I've heard Connor McKnight do some White Sox mm-hmm. games, and he's been with Chicago for a while now, right? He was yep. with the Score for a while. He's been with ESPN 1000 for a while. Connor McKnight has known this team. He's gotten to know this team. And, you know, that's difficult to pop in and out of play-by-play duties, you know? And sometimes you're working with different people. And you feel like you're always being, you know, you're trying to audition because you don't know what's going to happen. And you're trying to maybe play it safe. Connor McKnight is a professional. I've gotten to just have some interactions with him, especially when I was at Locked On White Sox. Wonderful person, you know, very giving of his time, extremely nice. But I like that he has got knowledge of this White Sox team. He knows what has been going on, at least let's say from 2016, the fall of it. So he can get in, hit the ground running, and has probably got a little bit of rapport with Steve Stone. I wasn't heartbroken that Jason Benetti left. Not at all. I was disappointed with how it happened. I thought the optics, everything was just not good in that situation. And I like the chemistry of Benetti and Stone. I thought Benetti did what Hawk wasn't doing, setting Stone up for success. You've got a wealth of knowledge. Now, if you follow Stone on social media, on Twitter X, you have to separate from how he is on social media to what he does as a color guy in the booth. I mean, you have got somebody that can speak the game, especially from the pitching side, like nobody else, in my personal opinion. Hawk wasn't using that. It was a battle of egos, right? And Benetti knew what he had in Steve Stone. And many times we had young pitchers coming through and just kind of tossing up a softball that he knew Stone would crush. And that was also his forte. That was his power. Like, let Stone pontificate on that. So I don't need to hear another Yaz story or Don Drysdale story, even though they're humorous and the way Hawk tells it, it makes you feel comfortable because we've known Hawk for so long. So we're not going to get another Jason Benetti. Okay. I thought Mike Monaco was going to be Benetti 2.0. He was going to be doing all these other things and tied away from the booth, which brings me back to my other thing with Connor McKnight. I don't know Connor McKnight's situation. I don't know if he has other aspirations. I would like somebody that wants to do White Sox games, that wants to be there doing White Sox games, okay? Wants to be there a majority of the time. Now, I know we're not going to get another Harrelson that was in a booth for 25, 30 years. You're not going to get that probably. Quality broadcasters have way too many temptations. They're drawn in all different kind of avenues with all the programming and opportunities. You want to do that. If you really want to be a broadcaster, you want the highest spot, right? The most light, the biggest money. It's probably not going to be with one team. But I get a feeling that Connor might be, hey, I'm doing White Sox games. I'm your guy.
Yeah, but here's something I thought about. And again, I agree with you 100% because you have a guy that's done pre and post for White Sox, the White Sox Network on ESPN 1000 for the past, I want to say, 3 years. I think it's been 3 years now, maybe entering year four. I could be wrong on that, so forgive me. He's been doing White Sox weekly, so he's doing a weekly podcast for the White Sox. He knows his team inside and out. He knows what's going on in the farm system. He's aware of what's been happening in the front office. He knows this team. I just think is it interesting or funny or curious? I don't know, or maybe all of it, that Jerry is putting more into a search for the play-by-play guy than he did for the general manager. Because if he would have said about the play-by-play guy, he goes, you know, I don't need to search. We're going to go with the comfortable guy that knows our team, and we're going to go with Connor McKnight. Most people go, okay, that makes sense. The guy's been around the team, and you know mm-hmm. it. But when he says it about the general manager, yeah. It just seems funny.
You got to think Connor McKnight's like, wait a second here. You didn't think twice, and you just kick Getz up to the general manager position. But for a play-by-play call, man, you're dragging me through the ringer with all these other people that nobody's even heard before.
My goodness gracious. It seems a little bit like, again, like the priorities are not where they should be. The priorities should be on, let's get the best possible roster that we can have, you know, to get, you know, we're not going to win it every year, but come hell or high water, we're going to build towards something, and we're going to really have in the more years than not, we're going to win this damn division, because again, it's the AL Central. But yeah. But he's put, he always wants some priorities on food and fireworks and you know, and bobbleheads. It just doesn't make any sense.
There was some baseball talk this past week, some actual baseball stuff going on. According to Vinny Duber of CHGO, White Sox held a hitting summit this week in Arizona. Farm boss Paul Janish said Major League staff, all levels of hitting coaches, minor league hitting coordinators, and front office types like Jim Thome and Tony La Russa batted around ideas. A lot of the talk about situational hitting per Janish. So, you know,
who, what other organization is having these types of conversations, and why? What, you know, again, Tony's available. He's here. He's just hanging around.
He's just in an office.
He's outside my office.
He's just on retainer. Tony's on retainer. Get him involved in anything. You got a question on something? We've got him. You know, he's contracted to us. He's just doing a jumble.
No. Go get him. Don't knock on his door. You got to call the operator that's on the switchboard for Tony. And they're calling. And she's like, oh, I'll get you to Mr. La Russa right away, sir. Click, 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 click. And he's got the big old phone that rings in his office. Ring, 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 ring. And he's putting it up to his ear. Yeah, that's how it's going down.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. When I read that and I just visualized kind of like this crack squad here talking about, you know, hitting ideas, like just like everybody just like puzzled. Mm. Like, I don't know in the world, how do we figure this out? How do we do this? We've really had no offensive developments this offseason whatsoever. It just seems like we're not going in a direction of, you know, power at all. We're talking about kind of bunting and you just slapping the ball around. I don't know how to figure this out. You know, what should we do? Situational hitting. How about that? I don't.
Slugger Jim, your thoughts. Get the ball over the fence. That's what I say. Tony, to you.
Jim, in situations where you needed to maybe just kind of get a guy over, you know, and you had to lay down a bunt, what did you do, Jim Thome?
I swung out of my shoes and tried to hit it 550 feet. Tony, what would you have done? I would have injected people with steroids.
All right. But, you know what? Let's table this.
That's what Tony would go. Have we thought about
Did you see the guys that I had? Did you see the guys that I was working with? Come on, brother. I mean, it's, you know, so that was something that was being talked about. Again, we're almost 2 months away from opening day. Buster Olney, however you want to pronounce it. I have got a different way of
either
pronouncing
way,
it than everybody else in the world. Two rival execs. Now believe the White Sox will wind up keeping Dylan Cease into the regular season. There is no pressure on them to lower their asking price. One executive said they'll get what they want at the trade deadline. From a fan perspective, point of view, good idea, bad idea, interested, not interested.
From a fan perspective, I think they're doing the right thing. I think I'll give Chris Getz credit here for not lowering his price, right? Because if you have an asset that is like it is, and you don't have to have because of the control that you have over 2 years, you really don't have to do anything. And right now, again, you're gambling a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You're gambling with injury. There is risk here involved with not moving him before the season starts. But, you know,
what if he develops that Chuck Knoblauch disease where he just forgets how to pitch?
Is that in a medical journal that you read, the Chuck Knoblauch disease?
Somebody might be able to. I don't. There's a.
Do you remember that when he all of a sudden he would throw it into the stands from second base?
He couldn't throw from second base, and there was a catcher, I believe, in baseball history that couldn't throw it back to the pitcher. Maybe they were jogging it up to him.
You'd think those would be prerequisites, like before making the team that year. So Chuck, how do you feel about playing second base? Love it. I got a lot of range.
Great idea. I got the glove. I'm into it.
Really good. All right. How do you feel about throwing the ball from your position, the absolute Mm-mm. shortest throw on the diamond, to your first baseman? Okay, Mr. Catcher, why don't you come on in here? You're basically going to be behind the plate all day, and you're going to be throwing the ball back to your pitcher. How do you feel about that? Can you accomplish that goal?
No, you're going to have to get somebody else. That's
right. How about rolling it back? Would you be able to?
I can roll it. I can roll it. I can lob it. I can get it within, 8 feet, I'm sure, of the mound. So, we're joking around here with Dylan Cease. He's been very reliable. He's been very healthy, taking the ball every 5 days, logging the innings. He's been one of the most reliable pitchers. Sure, he fell off a little bit, but I think you have to look beyond some of those stats on the surface. He absolutely can do worse. He could, but he also can rebound, or he can stay, the same. I just gave you probably the three.
Is there any other possibilities?
There's no other. I just.
I'm glad you covered all your bases. Yeah.
So,
and that's why you're the journalist that you are, Nick.
Yeah. If someone asks me to be part of just like a little roundtable pitching conversation with some others. Tony will be there, I'm sure, and maybe Harold Baines and Ron Kittle. And
it could be better. It could be worse. You could get hurt.
So, you do not want to give him away from nothing, and if you don't have anything on the table that you think is anywhere near what you want, then I guess you got to hold. But that's a huge asset, man. To be flipping this team and going into a different direction and kind of having another rebuild. And for those that want to keep Dylan Cease, I get it. Who else are you going to watch pitching wise? If they're going to be competitive at all, you got to keep Cease, but Cease can't do it on his own. And there's so many other holes with this Sox team. I'm not saying if you keep Cease, all of a sudden you're going to be sniffing the AL Central title.
Oh, you better hope they are, buddy, because you and I are going to be just swimming in money.
We do have skin in the game. And you're not going to keep Cease at the end of his contract, not just because he's a Boris client, but because that's how the Sox operate in terms of starting pitching, unless someone else knew was writing the checks. But Jerry wants to live for another 10 years. So, I don't know what to make of it. So right now it's
about him, according to Fox News.
Oh, good. That's what they said.
Did you see that part of the? I watched the Fox 32. I can't remember when they were talking about the stadium, and they were talking about Jerry. And when they said, "Oh yeah, well, he's still got his wits about him."
Oh, well,
he's more like a 57-year-old, not an 87-year-old.
There you go.
Doesn't seem accurate at all.
So now I changed my. This deal will get done. If he's got his wits about him.
So you thought maybe he was somewhat, maybe worse than last year, could be better. But if he has his wits about him, boom, done deal.
Done eventually. So to this C stuff, I'm almost like, just wake me up, when it's over. Or
wake me up before you go.
Exactly. Or we'll see him on a frigid March 28th. The opening day, which is also the home opener, Detroit will be in town. Benetti will be calling the game. And I hope Connor McKnight's on the call for the White Sox. And we'll see Cease, probably, he'll get through four, throw 120, something pitches through four.
Sounds like you want to place a bet on that already.
They won't let him go 100 pitches, I bet, that early on. But
not that cold.
No, I don't see him going more than four innings if he starts.
That's probably right. It's probably accurate.
I don't see him coming out for the fifth inning at all.
Okay. I'm glad that we're already breaking down opening day start from Dylan Cease on January 21st.
Yeah. We're insane. You and I are absolutely crazy, and everybody else listening and following us, you are in this house of crazy with us. We're all crazy. White Sox fans are nuts that we're still following this team as closely as we are, but we're family, you know, and anybody messes with the Sox outside of the family, you know, you hear it from us. We can bash them, but nobody else can. You know what I'm saying?
I like what somebody said. Nobody hates the White Sox more than White Sox fans.
Exactly.
I thought that was funny.
That should be a t-shirt. That absolutely should be a t-shirt. A bunch of Grifol quotes should be t-shirts, and that one, that saying right there. So there has been some pitching news, though. Free agent reliever John Brebbia is in agreement with the Chicago White Sox in a one-year, $5.5 million contract pending a physical. So, you know what? People complaining that maybe it was an overpay.
We're at $131 million. Who the hell cares? It's a one-year deal. Why would anybody care? You overpaid for that, Jackaloon. But you need people.
It's not your money. That's the other thing. It's like, it's not your money. They didn't ask you to pay for it. And that's the only thing we pay for anyways is relievers. You know, Han was probably on the call somewhere. Out in Maui or wherever he's hanging out these days, celebrating.
He's on retainer too.
He's the silent partner. Yeah. Look, you got to have arms. You absolutely have arms. That's an understatement. When you have you think you got enough arms, go get more arms. They need relievers. They need starters. So if you're going to spend your money, go ahead, spend it on pitching. I don't care. That's fine.
I'm surprised you buried the lead, Nick. I thought we were going to lead with that signing, the 1 year, $5.5 million.
That one came late in the week. I think we were all pretty excited about the stadium.
You already had, I know you had the run of show already done. When that came in, you had to squeeze it in the somewhere on the page, and I get it. It just gets at the end.
Yeah. Well, look,
it's a Friday news dump.
It is a Friday news dump, and I'm pretty sure it came on a Friday. Also, Chris Getz says he expects Chris Flexen to be part of the rotation, not just part of the mix in spring or bullpen for that matter. So remember that name, Chris Flexen. It's a fun one. It's an absolute fun. Connor's going to have a blast with that name.
Flexen. I think Connor's going to have that, and calling all those Garrett Crochet starts. He hasn't started ever in his life, but you know, we're preparing him that way. And Michael Kopech, we're going to prepare him for anything.
Garrett Crochet gets the ball, home opener, new stadium in the South Loop. It's going to be electric.
Now you're projecting now 6 years in the future. you're already calling. You've called the opening day start.
Hey, if we want to dream, let's dream about who's going to be on the mound. Let's dream about who's going to be on the mound.
Oh, probably Flexen's son.
And I'll say Connor McKnight and Gordon Beckham are on the call. That's how I feel. That's how I think things are going to go eventually.
I think then you need to try out. I think you could beat out Gordon.
If they Beckham. Had an open, if they put it on the White Sox website, if they had an open call for play by play, I would have threw my name in. I would have got a cassette tape ready. I would have walked it over.
I think you'd be better at color. Because you're interesting. You've got a lot to say. I think you'd be a better color man than play by play.
Perhaps. I think Stone's still going to be around for a little bit longer, though.
Mm.
Does Stone go to play by play?
No, never.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, there's still time.
Yeah, there is still time. Instead of a Pedro quote of the week to end things here, I've got a great Jerry quote, and this was unearthed from, you know, some of the articles that came out this past week about the brand new the serious talks and the new stadium, perhaps. And I love this one. He had said this towards the end of this past season, maybe after the season. This is Jerry Reinsdorf. Friends of mine have said, why don't you get out? And my answer has always been, I like what I'm doing, as bad as it is. And what else would I do? I'm a boring guy. I don't play golf. I don't play bridge. What else would I do? And I want to make it better. I want to make it better before I go. End quote. So,
okay. That's that. And he's got all his wits about him.
He's got all of his wits. And maybe this is how he makes it better. Forget, you know, signing anybody to, you know, really bolster this roster. Forget about on field. Like this is what he means by that. I don't know.
Jared must be drinking is all I can say in the comments there. The year is 2033 opening day. Sox have three World Series titles. As Getz has turned the franchise around, the broadcast shows Getz's wife, Chicago Bulls.
It's classic. Boy. I'm wishing Chris Getz nothing but the best. I don't agree with him getting the position that he had. I'm not going to put the faults of Han on him, but he's got, I think, a lot to learn. There's going to be, you know, some growing pains, but it's the Grifol Getz show until it's not. And hopefully he hits on some of this stuff, namely the Cease deal, whenever that emerges.
I guess all we can do is wait and see, but you know, I'm looking forward to more renderings and pictures of the ballpark with a skyline and all will be forgiven.
Pat, it's always a pleasure to do this Sox therapy that we've been running for a very long time.
Yeah. I had another fun time with you, Nick. It was a well done show. Good job to you. And don't forget, Nick, you are supposed to be positive. So thank you for trying to stay positive. That is your New Year's resolution that I will hold you accountable to.
I'm positive, man. I'll be in spring training. You know, someone said something to me on social media about, you know, well, you can't be that bent up about this team if you're going to spring training. And I'm getting the heck out of Chicago area in early March. I'm going to Arizona. And I'm going to go to a couple spring training games, try to learn some new names. It's all gravy, baby.
Gravy. I like that. That's another shirt. Going to Arizona, it's all gravy, baby.
Going to Glendale, man. It's gravy, baby.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I wish I could go with you.
Well, you know I'll be on assignment, so I'm sure I'll have many
boots on the ground, Nick Morawski.
Yeah. Well, I want to appreciate and thank all the many folks in the comments. Really appreciate it. Sunday nights, thanks for jumping in, giving your thoughts. Hopefully these conversations continue with Sox fans in your life. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really do appreciate that. Sunday nights, 9:15, audio available absolutely everywhere. We're on Twitter X at Good Guys TV, and we've got a Facebook fan page. For Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox!